You wouldn't be able to know how to progress in life without light. If darkness dominates, we become stagnated. We stumble all over ourselves. So now here, the Word, which we know is the Son, which is God, which is love, He gives life to everything that's been created, and the life that He produces in us provides us light. Provides us this illumination, this revelation, this clarity, this direction, this sense of purpose. See, we gain purpose from God. Modern psychology and philosophy, and alike stresses the fact that you get purpose just from your sense of being. It's kind of like René Descartes said 3-4 centuries ago. He says, "I think, therefore I am." He says, "The reason why I know I exist is because I think, because I can rationalize." This really kind of dawned the whole kind of movement of reason and logic that started to try to dominate over faith and trust. It says, "I think, therefore I am." The whole sense of being now got usurped by this sense of being able to intellectually reason. Because I can intellectually reason now, I know that I exist. And that's where now I get my essence or significance of life from. Not so. Not so. Let's be clear. He was wrong. He was wrong then and he's wrong now. We get our essence and our existence and our purpose from Almighty God. Created in His image and after His likeness. He gave us life. And then that life in turn produced light so that we know exactly where we're supposed to go. The question now is, are we paying attention to the light? How well are you paying attention to the light? You ever seen those movies? Anybody like horror movies in here? Okay, we've got a few folks, The people in horror movies are the dumbest people on the planet. I didn't say the ones who watch it. I said the people in it. You see, in one commercial, it's like four, young people. They got a Jason type figure. They're out. It's just like, hey, we got to do something. What are we gonna do? How are we gonna get out of here? And the girl was like, why don't we get in the running car? And the guy was like, are you crazy? Let's go hide behind the chainsaws. I said, yeah, that's exactly what happens. But how many times in movies like this, and not only horror movies, but other movies, where you can see it as the spectator. They're walking towards something that's getting dark. And he's just like, don't go down that one. Don't go down that alley that's completely dark. What? Turn. No, turn. Come on, some of y'all know how it is. You start talking back to the movie. Like, girl, turn left. What you doing? Go, watch this, where there is light. But a lot of times, unfortunately, people get drawn to, attracted to, and sucked into the darkness. There is a lot of perversion in our world today. People are drawn into it. I mean, think about this. The horrible tragedy that still is going on, right now with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Now, there's lots of people who are giving towards that and doing things, people that are going and helping, with the refugee effort. But do you know that there's also a huge number of people that are trying to exploit that for a profit? Yeah. Where they see that as an opportunity, watch this, to snatch someone into human trafficking. There's a huge thing of perversion. How is it that people get drawn to that? They're ignoring the light and they're going down this dark pathway. And love says, I've given you life, and there's a life now that produces light when you stay connected with me. And just like God, you know, said, you know, back in Deuteronomy, I've set before you blessing and cursing, death and life. Watch this, light and darkness. Choose the light. Choose the light. That's an intentional effort that we have to have. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. Oh, yeah. And then I love this, in darkness can never extinguish it. I don't care how deep, how thick, you know, how, you know, just robust the darkness can be. When light comes in, it cuts through. Every day of the week. And this particular light can never be extinguished. So think about it like a torch. You light a torch now, and you're going through. Matter of fact, not too long ago, I saw, what was it? One of Vin Diesel's movie, you know, Pitch Black, Riddick, all of that. So I think it's Pitch Black, you know, so they're trying to escape from the whole things, and they're going through, I guess, trying to get to the ship, and they got these torches. And as long as they keep it light, the creatures don't come in and attack them. But a couple of them torches start to go out. And yeah, that was a real nervous time. And of course, they got snatched up. Well, here God's trying to help you understand. He says, you never have to worry about this torch of light that I have produced in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Going out. It will not go out. And there's no darkness on the planet that can extinguish it. And listen very closely. And for thousands of years, there has been darkness trying.
Yes.
For thousands of years. Trying to extinguish the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it cannot work.
Jesus.
And it will not win. But let your life be a trophy of that victory. Let your life be a life that God can stand up like he, you know, stood up Job. Like, have you considered my servant Job? This man is good. Come on, let that be the testimony that God can say, have you considered my daughter? Have you considered my son? Man, he's wonderful. Look how they allow the life and the light that I have placed in them to shine. Look how they're drawn to the light and not drawn to the darkness. Let me put this in some more practical terms. Just like the example we talked about, you know, somebody, you know, slapping you. Do you get drawn to the darkness or drawn to the light? And let's now, I don't believe God has called anybody to be a punching bag.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean you just got to sit back and be like, all right, just take it. In Jesus' name, I'll take it. Doesn't necessarily mean that. But at the same token, you and I should have some sense of resolve settled this on the inside. That even though there has been some type of infliction of pain, we still respond and are drawn to the light rather than the darkness. This is a great thing that we saw during the whole time of civil rights movement back in the 1950s and 60s, where they would do marches and things, and they would be physically attacked. And rather than respond in kind, their commitment was, we're going to respond in light.
Yeah.
And we're not going to fight back that same way. Watch this. We're going to fight back, but we're fighting back in love.
Yeah.
Let's see. The dark side sees that as weak. The dark side sees that as a compromise. Because the dark side says, if somebody do something to you, you get them back. They killed you, you kill us. You kill them. That's what the dark side does. And listen, let's be clear. I'll say this and I'll move on. I know in our culture today, there's a great sense of trying to still fight a civil rights battle. Well, the majority are doing it from a position of darkness and not light. Not light. I'm of the opinion, someone said, this is Pastor's opinion.
Yes, it's Pastor's opinion.
But I'm of the opinion that a Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King right now, if it was alive, he'd shake his head like, this is not how. This is not how I put my life on the line. I said, I'd leave it alone and move on. Verse 9, oh my, where did time go? The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Do you recognize the light? Because if you read further, and John makes it clear, he's the one who gives this to us. Jesus is the light of the world. So, here's our core affirmation for this whole series. Catch hold of it. That no matter the challenges, setbacks, difficulties, or failures you may have experienced, or could be experiencing right now, the darkness that attempts to loom must give way to God's brilliant, incomparable, bedazzling light that gives clarity, it gives purpose, it gives direction for our life. Even though darkness may loom, God's light will shine. The only question is, will we be drawn to the light? In every situation that happens in your life and mine, we have the opportunity to choose the light way or the darkness. Every single case, and some of y'all know it. Some of y'all have been, you know, right there on the job, and somebody said something, and you were just like, you know what? And then you said, God bless you. Yeah. Come on, you ever done that one before? Like, you know, God bless you. That was you being, you know, 2 seconds off cussing somebody out. But you chose the light. You were drawn to the light. That's what God is calling us, you know, unto. As we are drawn to the light, put the connection together, now the love can be enforced to its fullest extent.
Right.
And now we can stand and say with confidence, love never fails. My God always finds a way for me through. Listen, let me encourage you here as Impact Church. Our God always finds a way for us.
Yes.
Listen, we've been, you know, having worship experiences, you know, in this theater for the past several years. I would have never thought it when we first, you know, started, you know, coming here, that we would be here the length of time that we are. But I am also convinced of this, that love never fails.
Yes.
I thank God for this theater.
Yes.
That we have some place that we can come together and we can worship and we can be built up in God's word.
Yes.
But don't you think for 1 minute God's just going to just let us fall.
Yes.
God's just going to let us hit the ground. God's going to let us get shot up like Trinity and just smack right on the pavement. You better know that God was the one.
Yes.
Jesus is really the one who swoops in.
Yes.
And will rescue. And that's why we can declare Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022.
Yes.
Can I get anybody in faith in that? Praise God. Hallelujah. So stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Now, let me see here. Now, how can we get through this in 25 seconds? It's not going to happen. But Daniel chapter 3, it's going to happen. It's just ain't going to happen in 25 seconds. The short version. Scripture shows us an experience, kind of a glimpse, just like what we're talking about with Neo coming in and saving Trinity. There's this sense now where love never fails. Dealing with these, you know, three Hebrew boys of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are in exile, meaning that they've been taken from their home country, their homeland. They're now in a foreign land. They are captive, and in this case, because they have shown some sense of brilliance, they have been abducted to be in the king's palace and to be trained specifically by the king so the king could use them however he wanted to use them. And now they're in a particular situation, and there's haters in there. Come on, you know, how many know this? There's haters everywhere you go. Come on, exile, you know, wherever you go, there's always these haters. And now Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel have this conviction like my seventh grade friend. God's called us to something.
Yes.
Even though this situation around us that we're in is dark, God still has called us to something.
Yes.
And we choose to be drawn to the light of his calling.
Yes.
So, the haters couldn't stand that. These are Jewish boys. Who do they think they are? So on and so forth. And then they hated it even more because they're getting promoted above them. So they concoct a story and a scheme. He said, hey, king, let me come out. You know, here's what I think you should do. Over the next, you know, period of time, you should make an edict that anyone that's loyal to you should, the moment the music starts to play, should bow down and worship this image that you've created. That's what everybody should do. King said, well, you know what? That's pretty good. Now, they did that because they already knew what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was doing. King said, yeah, that's it. So let it be written. So let it be done. So then, of course, they immediately hightail. Let's go find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's go find it. Hey, band director, strike it up. Play the music. Hey, DJ. Come on, drop that beat. And sure enough, when the music plays, everybody pauses, stops, and begins to worship, you know, that image. Not Shadrach, not Meshach and Abednego. And the haters are like, God, we got him. Let's go. There you go. Now here we go. Haters are snitches. You know, so they run back to, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, king, didn't you make this edict? That the moment the music play, everybody should worship. Yeah, so yeah, absolutely. I said, well, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or that Negro, or whatever. they're not doing it. They're not doing it, King. King's like, what? So now he's feeling personally insulted. Like, I'm the king. I'm the edict. You have to do what I say. We don't care about. But see, they're drawn to their calling. Even though it's a tense situation, they're still drawn to their calling. They're still drawn to the light. And then we show up here in verse 15. Because now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves before the king. And the king says to them, now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music. I told you it was a band. You fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, listen closely, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Just a little side commentary. He's about to find out. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. In other words, it's like, we're not really stressed, you know, to even respond to this. You know, your threat, it doesn't move us. Because everyone else, when the music plays, is drawn to the darkness, but we have a commitment to the light. If it be so, verse 17, 18, I'm going to say this, is mistranslated in a lot of translations. It really is, and it's really unfortunate. Catch a hold of really what these two verses really say and mean. If it be so that you cast us into the furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Come on, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's proclamation. Says, if you throw us into the furnace, our God is able to save us. That's the one we serve. He said, matter of fact, not only is he able to, he will. He says, we know he's able, but we also know he's willing. See why? Love never fails. See, now in modern day Christianity, somebody will say, well, if it's the Lord's will, He may save us. But see, they understood something already. No. See, I understand exactly his will. And his will is love never fails. So he's able to, and he's willing to, and he will do.
Yes.
Then verse 18 says, but if not. Now, this is where many translations mess us up. Because they take it as, but if not, meaning that, but if God doesn't deliver me. Now, that sounds schizophrenic if you just really keep it in context. Yes. They just simply said he's able, he's willing, and he will.
Yes.
So what sense then does it make to come right behind that and be like, but if he don't? That's not what it was saying. It says, but if not, in other words, if not, if you don't cast us into the furnace. See, verse 17 is, if it be so that you cast us into the furnace. In this case, it's saying, boy, it says, if you change your mind and you do not cast us into the furnace, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your little tired little bitty gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, you better know this made the king flat out mad. This is like, if you throw us in there, our God is able to and will deliver us. This is what God says. If you decide not to, we ain't bound down. You play that music anytime you want.
That's right.
And we're not dancing. We're not dropping it like it's hot to that one. It ain't happening. Verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in.
Wow.
That should have told everybody something right then. The ones that threw the men into the furnace died. The ones going into the furnace are still alive.
Yeah.
Love never fails. Come on now. Some of us have experienced, again, circumstances and situations where it seemed like the furnace of life has been heated up 7 times more hotter than normal. God said, don't you worry about that. That's why my son came into the earth, to give you life, and a life that will produce a light. And as you are drawn to that light, you can see my love never failing. We keep reading and finish it all. Verse 23 says, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, come on, someone say suddenly. Here, come on now. Here come Neo flying in, I'm telling you right here. Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men. And all of them now are unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god. Many translations says, looks like the son of God. Love never fails. See, some people, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, may have drifted from the light the moment they are taken by the soldiers. Come on, watch this. I mean, think of it this way. You're in faith, just like what they were. You're in faith. If you throw us in there, our God's able to deliver us, so on and so forth. But kind of almost like secretly, you're expecting and you're looking for the deliverance to happen before. It's like, I don't necessarily really want to go into the furnace. Don't really want to have to do that. Some people now at the point where I'm really going into the hottest of the hot would give up hope, would give up faith. But they didn't. They didn't. See, this is where you have to understand that with the God that you serve, it really ain't fair Because even if the furnace is turned up 70 times hotter than normal, and you are thrown into it, and watch this, and all life is gone, God still cannot breathe new life in and extract you from the furnace. This is the revelation that Moses grew into. Why he could offer his son that he'd waited 25 years for. Why he could offer his son and be willing to kill him. Because if you're reading through Hebrews, and again, we just read through it in our yearly Bible plan. If you're reading through there, you will see Abraham had come to the conclusion that even if I do this, love never fails. So God has to bring him back to me. See, stay drawn to the light. Darkness may loom, but stay drawn to the light. Here's a case in verse 26. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Man, I like that. Come on now. You ever had, you know, the moments where you were dealing with something and you stepped out? Yeah. Come on, that's some of the greatest feelings where you kind of deal with something and, you know, maybe there was, you know, some property you were looking to buy and then there was a challenge or something that's going on, but then you had that day when you went and signed. Yeah. And all of a sudden now, watch this, you stepped out of the tension. Come on, you know that sense of relief that's there. It's like, I got it now. It's mine now. This is what's going on here. They stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell smoke. Come on now, they didn't even smell the smoke. But I love this that we see here, that the high officers, the officials, governors, advisors, all crowded around them. See, everyone now in this particular arena, they're the upper echelon of society. They're those now that are gravitating towards, you know, kind of thought processes like, you know, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, you know, Greek, you know, philosophy, enlightenment and reasoning. But when light shows up, they got to come in and investigate. Because our reasoning just doesn't bring us to this point. This doesn't make sense. And see, listen, I believe that we live in a time and a season right here, right now, where the light of God wants to show up so big in our lives that everyone, praise God, with all their degrees and everything that's going on, they have to pause and look and be like, this doesn't make sense. But I want some of it. Yep. See, because that's what they started to draw them onto. Oh, you better believe, after this, praise God, Nebuchadnezzar begins to say, now, these guys serve the Most High God. He had a different opinion of God, all because of the light and the rescue that showed up for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Love never fails. Dear God, I'm over time. Think of it. You know, we had the song that we were playing. It's been out for a number of years now. So Will I. You know, like 100 million times. But I love the latter part of the song as it's concluding. It said, he's the one that never leaves the one behind. Love never fails. So, Father, we present ourselves unto you today.